Blog Talk Radio.
This one goes out to my little homie Brandon. Told you, I got you, my man.
A lot of pressure, man. Let's go, baby.
Yellow.
Sophisticated gorillas is on the move tonight. VA, stand up. Come on. Come on. My man.
Hey, hold on, okay? Come on.
100 miles of running, with guns in our hand, barbarian, heavy metal, carrying rock band, invested in stock, man, testing the clock, grand, my peeps got a spot on the block of our block, fam, a jar in the pot, man, gets you a knot, man, like ching ching, hot damn, cooked it like hot ham, gotta be smart, man, playing your part, man, get your feelings apart, with ice over your heart, man, hustling ain't a game, hustling the art, man, 50% sour, 50% smart, man, and lame as turns ain't
Oh, yeah.
It's Sound Off Farms, because you know what time it is. Hey, look, it's a new time. 9 o'clock, 9:05 to be exact. Sound Off Farms, you know how we do it. All right, I'm your host, George Beverly. We're going to have a very, very interesting night. I'm excited. We have a Wichita Falls, Texas local on hold right now, and he's going to be talking about some technology stuff. But you know how we always do it. I got to put out those ads real quick, and then we get started. The hub dates on March 19th, 4:36 p.m., wills and testaments, the importance of having a will and the steps of preparing a will. On the 26th, early Head Start presentations, information on services for pregnant women and infants that were usually think they're too young are ineligible for programs. You have Line and Learn, March 28th, a budgeting class. That's Line and Learn budgeting class on March the 28th. We're also having at the Hub Employment, Finance, and Health. Four targets, one mission, take control. Four target areas for success: families and neighborhood development and education, income, employment, finance, and health. These are the areas that, when enhanced, have the most important impact on opportunity for a thriving community. And that's from Ms. Diane Morgan. She's the program coordinator at the Hub, and the address is 115 East Wichita Street in Wichita Falls, Texas. Telephone number is 940-687-2355. Hours of operation is Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. through 5 o'clock p.m. Tax return prep. Don't pay to have your taxes filed. You can earn it. Keep it. Schedule your appointment today. Just dial 211, and that number is 211. Free tax preparation for qualifying individuals and families that incomes less than $51,000. For more information, visit the website www.ntauw.org. That's November Tango Alpha Uniform Whiskey .org. Or you can call the Hub and talk to Ms. Josie Rodriguez at 940-687-2355. All right. Then the seniors. Do you need dollars for college? You don't have time to waste. Money for college begins here. Financial aid event for students and parents. Thursday, February the 28th, 5 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Come and go. You don't need to be present to enter at this time. Let's see, Region 9 Education Service Center. That's on 301 Loop 11, Wichita Falls, Texas. North Texas area United Way will be available to help file your taxes. Help will also be available to help fill out your FAFSA, free application for financial student aid, and TAFSA, which is the Texas application for state financial aid. Bring your W-2s from 2012 if you have them, or you can bring a W-2 forms plus a picture and ID. They will have refreshment and child care provided. We'd like to thank you. All right. And the point of contact for any questions, please call Kathy Hari, 3226928, extension 8217. And that's Harvey, excuse me, Kathy Harvey. 3226928, extension 8217. All right. So if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on Sound Off Forums at Facebook. You also can get a hold of me on at soundoff 97413@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at hashtag soundoff 97413. Also on Facebook, you can follow me at george.mango.904. Madeline Chappelle. She has a business called Better Days Publishing. She also does invitations, posters, calendars, programs, obituaries, magazines and flyers, and business cards, etc. If you, she says she's already got her February issues out for the Better Days magazine. If you'd like to pick them up, you can pick them up at Davenport's. You can also go to OB's shop, Shaw's Beauty Plus, Trey's barbershop, and you can also pick up a digital copy from her at her email at havebetterdays@yahoo.com. That's all one word, havebetterdays@yahoo.com. Her telephone number, if you'd like to get in touch with her, is area code 940-923-4727. That's area code 940-923-4727. So I'd also like to pull out, I don't know where I put it, I'm sorry. I usually have it already up. I apologize for the hold up. Like I said, I usually have it up and I didn't even think about it, and then I'm putting out this advertisement and I completely forget. Okay. So the baton carriers in Wichita Falls, sponsored by the YOC, is having a Matin tournament, Matin 2013 tournament, and first place winner will receive trophy, money, and prizes, $100 cash prize. Prizes include one free haircut at Trez Barbershop, one free haircut from Lenny's and Jimmy's, Frankie's Barbershop, $20 gift certificate to Be Made Man Fashions, $50 off gift certificate from Better Days Publishing, one packet of tickets for the next Pure Action Championship Wrestling Show, two tickets to Love That Girl's Bar and Grill, and one free night stay in the suite at the new Grand Hotel. Okay, and this is going to be February the 23rd at 12:30 noon, starting at 12:30 noon at the Hub, or the Paul Irwin Rec Center at 115 East Wichita Falls Street. Excuse me, East Wichita Street in Wichita Falls. This is a fundraiser, and the fundraiser is going to be benefiting the Kirby Junior High School for a scoreboard. Pre-sales, $10. At the door, it'll be $15. Onlookers, you can go ahead and pay $5. You can talk to Madeline, Ivory, Vicky, Sparkle, or Madeline, or myself to pick up these tickets. If you don't know, they're also spread around the East Side neighborhood and also on Shepherd Air Force Base. Come out and have a good time. We're going to have food and everything, and it's going to be off the chain, I guarantee. So, as we always do it, if you'd like to call in, now this is how we're going to do it. If you'd like to call in, please call in the second half of the show because I want my guest to be able to have a full hour or however long that time that he needs in order to do the show. So, as we always do, we always kick it off with Ephesians 6:6-13, King James Version. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that ye, your master, also is in heaven. Nevertheless, there is respect unto persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, dark angels, fallen dark angels, against powers, fallen dark angels with power, against rulers of darkness of this world, against rulers of dark fallen angels of this world, against spiritual wicked things in high places, against spiritual wicked demons in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand within the evil day, and having all to do, to stand. And let the church say amen. All right. Now it's time to get down to the show. I'll let him introduce himself, and we'll continue on. All right. Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. All right. Can you please introduce yourself, please?
Yes, Patrick Gray. Database analyst, computer programmer, website developer. If it's a computer, I can do it. For anything from Xbox 360s on down to databases.
Okay. So can you talk about
Hello?
Some? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm good now.
Okay. So can you just talk about? You can talk about any topic that you choose. To talk about that might be helpful for people out there who are trying to fix the computers themselves, or even senior citizens who are trying to focus on trying to use the computer.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that, you know, I've come to realize in all these travels with my IT experience is that a lot of younger folks today, especially our kids, they know database. I mean, they know technology. They probably know Facebook, they know Twitter, they know all of that stuff that their parents can't keep up with because technology changes so much. So the older generation gets frustrated with it, and they don't follow what their kids are doing. What I do is I deal with a lot of kids, especially the kids at Kirby, and I'm proud to hear what the Baton Carriers are doing to try to help raise money to get the kids at Kirby at scoreboard. So what I've noticed a lot of the times when I'm coaching basketball to these kids is that, you know, they always have their cell phones attached to no matter where they go. So it's kind of hard for a parent to keep up with them. So what I was trying to – well, what I am doing is I'm working with a lot of the parents and the older people in the community to try to help them stay up on the technology so that way they can stay up on what their kids are doing. Because, I mean, you've seen it now. Some of these kids get outrageous on these phones. And when they get outrageous on these phones, you know, parents have to assume the responsibility that they know what's going on with their kid when they really don't. So that's where I spend a lot of my time now is educating older, you know, the older generation – on how to keep up with their kids, what their kids are doing online and with technology. So with stuff like that, I try to make sure that, you know, I keep everybody educated, I keep everybody aware, and I always make sure that no matter where I'm at, if somebody stops and asks me what's going on or how to do something when it comes to technology, I always make sure that I give them a good educated answer and how to research it for themselves. Because that stuff can get a lot of kids in trouble. I mean, you've seen the news, you've seen articles today where kids are doing all kinds of weird stuff on the phones, and the parents think they know what's going on when they really don't. So my thing is just to educate and make the older people aware. George?
What exactly, what kind of programs do you offer, or are there any programs in Wichita Falls that specifically reach out to the senior citizens they have access
to? Well, actually, yeah, and that's what's crazy. Actually, right now there isn't. So I'm putting it together for myself, and I'm doing a lot, like going out in the community, going out and, you know, doing speeches at the MLK Center, going out to some of these retirement homes and talking to I was just out at Rolling Meadows here about 2 weeks ago talking to some of the older people there who have, you know, kids and grandkids and great-grandkids that live outside of Texas, but they don't know how to use email, they don't know how to use FaceTime, they don't know how to use video conference and that good stuff. So it brought a little joy to me to help them reach out to some of their great-grandkids that they've never seen before with video conferencing. And so when I'm doing stuff like that, it gave me the idea that maybe I need to have a traveling circuit, but, you know, something where people can call me and ask me to help them with that stuff. And I can put on seminars and webinars to help the older crowd or the older generation understand technology and the benefits of it. Not just it's all bad, but the benefits of technology.
What do you think is the disconnect between technology and the senior citizens?
That's simple. It's a lot of senior citizens are afraid of change.
And when I say of change, I mean
they're used to that. Well, when I was a kid, we used to walk 5 miles in the snow and this and that just to get our school books. Well, nowadays the kids can't relate to that because technology puts everything in their hands, and it's instant information. I mean, it's you can get information on just about any subject that you have any concern about just by picking up a phone or picking up any electronic device. But a lot of the older generations can't relate to that. They're used to being able to, you know, go out, putting their hands on, use newspapers, for example. You know, they're used to going out, getting the newspaper, picking it up, reading it, feeling it, touching it, and that's what I'm used to. Our kids today, they pick up any piece of metal that has internet connection and a little electricity, and they can go out and get that same information, but not just local information from anywhere in the world. And so the disconnect comes where the older generation is like, well, that's the way we've always done things. So since we've always done things, it was good for us, it's got to be good for our kids. Kids don't see it that way no more. So I think that's where the disconnect is.
Do you think it'll be a time where actual hard copy newspapers will go out of business?
Yeah, actually, I used to work at the Times Record News here in Wichita Falls. And when I was there, you know, business, the newspaper, it wasn't on the downside. It wasn't on the upside. It was pretty stagnant. And a lot of the newspapers here have started to go to the digital format because that's what they have to. I mean, nobody wants to – you don't have to go and pick up the newspaper no more. You can actually go online and read the newspaper. You can get on your cell phone, your smartphone, and read the newspaper. You can get on, pick up a tablet and read the newspaper. The cool thing about it is that here, since I live in Wichita Falls, you know, the newspaper that was only accessible to me when I was growing up was the Times Record News. That was it. If I wanted something like the USA Today or something like that, I'd have to catch it in a grocery store, pay a little extra for it, and call it a day. With technology, the incredible thing is that I can have any newspaper in the world that I want. Even if it's somewhere in Kazakhstan, I can pick up a newspaper from Kazakhstan, and technology today will translate it for me and allow me to read it and see what's going on anywhere that I want in the world that has a newspaper. So I think that the actual paper media, the actual feeling of it, yeah, it is falling by the wayside. And I think that the newspapers that will survive will be the ones that will adapt to it, like the USA Today, the Huntington Post, the Washington Journal. Those publications have adapted, and they've made this stuff online and accessible to people. So I think that sooner or later, and I think I'm going to lean on this side of sooner, you know, you're going to see less paper and more electronic mediums.
So what age limit do you think? Would it be our generation when we're in our retirement age? Do you think that we will be seeing more, less paper at our time? Or do you think,
we're already seeing less paper in our age bracket right now. I mean, we're seeing less newspapers. I think by the time, say, our kids, it'll probably be totally paperless. So I think that, like, right now, I mean, just in my generation alone, I grew up as a guy with technology. You know, I've seen in the military, I've grown up with it, I've watched it develop. I've been one of the very few people who's my generation, without giving away my age, that I've seen everything from 45 records and 78 records to 12-inch records to albums to cassettes, all the way up to MP3s and the other iPods and the other electronic players today. My grandparents never got a chance to see all of that stuff. My parents never got a chance to see all of it. My kids couldn't even begin to tell you what a cassette is or what a – as a matter of fact, my baby boy, my son, he couldn't even tell you what a CD is because in his lifetime, it's always been MP3s. He's 13. Mm-hmm. It's always been MP3s. So he couldn't even tell you what a CD is right now or what a CD player is. So
wow.
That's how fast technology moves.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I know. It's crazy, right? He's 13. I could hand him a CD. He's like, what is this?
it seems like just yesterday we had vinyl.
Yes. I remember my DJing days. We had the 12-inch records, the vinyls, and it was in a microphone. We used to get down. It was on and popping. But now, anybody can pick up, some electronic turntables and they're automatically.
What about that big old stereo system that every black person had in their living room? That had a 8-track and a record player on it, and all the it was a big old carryo cabinet.
and then the big speakers that all the kids would sit on. It was carpet.
Well, if you was at my house, you probably had roaches, so I don't know.
Oh, no, yeah. Hey, I had roaches that sat down and eat when we ate.
Shoot, I had roaches and fleas. We had the Crips and the Bloods in there. I couldn't sit on the floor. The fleas would bite me. If I sat on the couch, the roaches kicked me out, so, you know.
Hey, I grew up in the Kimber District in Wichita Falls, and when I tell you that our roaches were so big, they had, like, riders on them. I'm telling you, we had some of the biggest and most tame roaches unknown to man. So,
they were gangster too, boy. They was gangster.
Man, they were thugged out.
All right, let's get back to technology.
All right.
I'm just saying. Look, I mean, these kids don't know how good they got it these days.
Oh, heck no,
they
man.
They got a clean, look, they got a good house. They got all the phones. They can invite friends over to spend a night. They don't have to worry about roaches crawling out in front of them.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Don't have to worry about
fact,
roaches crawling out the cereal.
I tell you what, George, as a matter of fact, they kids today don't even understand the creativity we had to use to keep ourselves entertained. Today, they have, like, all the Xboxes, the PlayStations, Netflix, you know, your apps on your smartphones, anything to keep them entertained. For us, when we was growing up, our parents would send us outside, and they just said two words, go play.
Yeah, so and if you lucky, somebody had an Atari or something in their house.
Yes.
Because we didn't have cable. We had that little TV with the big TV with the little TV on top of it.
Right. That
with the dial and the bunny rabbit ears, and you got to turn it a certain way. They got foil on the bunny rabbit ears.
Yeah.
Now they got HD and 3D and.
Man, even if you look at the TVs with technology, remember they didn't have the remote controls. My grandfather used to have to holler at the boys, you know, patch. And you understand? Change that for me.
Hey, look, I remember when the VCR came out, my mom's boyfriend had a Betamax, and the remote control had a cord to it.
Oh, man. Yeah. So it wasn't wireless. You had a wired remote.
It wasn't wireless. No, it wasn't wireless. And
right.
And the funny part about that is the following year, the new VCR came out, you didn't need it.
Right, yeah.
Do you remember the old cell phones that looked like a bomb case?
Man, it looked like you walking around with a shoebox on your ear.
I'm telling you, they don't know how good. You couldn't hide a cell phone from going to school them days.
Oh,
dude.
No.
You
as a matter of fact,
you couldn't
them days you had to have beepers.
Oh, I was just about to say that. You had a pager or a beeper.
Yeah.
And everybody thought they was cool because they had a beeper.
Man, I remember my first beeper was a Sky pager, and I thought I was the truth.
And guess what? You know technology recycles. Didn't they sell cases for the beepers too?
Yes.
They sell cases for the beepers too. So these kids think they're special because they got little cases for their phones. We had cases. It was just a little harder.
Beepers. Yeah. Oh,
it looked like we were about to shave our beard or something.
Right. And that just shows you how far it's come along, man. You know, we look back, we can see that. You know, kids can't relate to it. The older people, they kind of relate to it, but they can't relate to it like we can, our generation. So that's the part I just find amazing. Like, I was speaking to this older lady here not too long ago, and she was talking to, you know, she's in her 80s. Well, she's pushing 90. And she was telling me about how, you know, when she was a kid, there was no air conditioner. There was no refrigerator. You know, the stuff that we take for granted, you know, and cars even, you know. And that's the kind of stuff that we, you know, my generation, we took for granted that, you know, there's always going to be a refrigerator. There's always going to be air conditioning. There's always going to be electricity, you know. And I think our kids are taking technology for granted the exact same way we did with the little amenities we had growing up.
Right. I think one thing that we take for granted that our grandparents and our great-grandparents had that we didn't, that would definitely be indoor plumbing.
Yes. Oh, man.
I think that was the best invention ever made.
Yeah.
At my father-in-law's house, there's a little short computer, I mean, not a computer, but a cartoon thing, and it says it's the caveman, little kind of cartoon sketch, and it said, "We saved up and look where our look wait, we saved up and we've got indoor plumbing, and it's an outhouse inside their house." So I tell you, we've come far.
Oh yeah. See, and that's even like, when you speak technology, a lot of people think, like you say, they think smartphones and iPads and laptops. Technology, like you say, that can be, you know, about bathrooms, you know, and indoor plumbing. That's, those are technological advancements. So, like you say, we take that for granted. Our grandparents them could relate to not having indoor plumbing. We can't relate to it.
Well, if you was in the service, you can relate to it because I know.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go run out to the wood line.
With your
intuition. Got to bring your E-tool. Got to bring the E-tool. Got to
bring
your
E-tool, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I can relate.
Okay, one quick story. I got to say this. I was just going to let you talk, but since we're having such a good time. When I was in Iraq, when we first got to Iraq, we had to burn our own waste. And let me tell you, that was a detail nobody wanted.
Right.
So we had to take the mold gas and the waste, and we had to burn it, and somebody had to stir it. It was like a rotation, like 45 rotate, and we had to burn the waste in a barrel. And I'm saying to myself,
yeah,
I'm so glad when I get back I'll be able to use the bathroom.
Yes. Hey, I was in Iraq. I had that detail before.
so you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. We call it the morning glory.
Well, you know what? I wasn't on that detail a lot, so I didn't have a name for it. So.
Yeah, no.
But I showed it. Look at it.
Yeah, I served over with 8th ID, and oh man, yeah, we had a that detail was called the Morning Glory.
oh man, you got
some memories. Oh man,
I know, right? It's been a while, but man, those were benefits, and you know what? I think being in Iraq made me treasure technology even more, you know, because you didn't realize how essential when it's 140 degrees outside, you need an air conditioner.
Oh, man.
And then let's check it out, right? Then they give us ice, and then we eat the ice, and they say, oh, you can't eat the ice because you get dysentery.
Yes.
So now you're sitting in the tent or whatever, and your stomach's all messed up. You can't cool down, and you can't get no cold water because the ice is bad.
I'm telling you,
Americans don't know how good they got it.
No, and they don't, man. And that's like you say, we've been over there and we've seen it.
So we
get a chance to appreciate what we have here in the States. I appreciate every day having indoor plumbing.
I was glad when we got KBR. That's all I'm.
Yeah. Oh man,
I was tired of eating the MREs. That's all.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so let's get back on technology. I'm sorry, I'm having a good old time.
No, I'm having a good old time,
but
hey, we'll talk military all day.
All day, every day. So technology as far as the community. What in Wichita Falls have you seen since your time here has changed in a technical sense, maybe in the educational department and schools, or maybe just in the city itself in order to keep up with the modern day?
All right. I actually work for the city. And one of the things that, you know, I've been able to hang my hat on is how taking the city towards using less paper. I don't want to say paperless because the city always used paperless. I mean, used paper. So I'm going to say less paper. So there's a lot of technological things that the city of Wichita Falls is doing that right now that the public don't know about. Like, for example, you know, going paperless, the genealogy stuff, the putting of all the Wichita Falls documents out there in electronic format for the citizen. Because, you know, that's the kind of stuff that citizens in the bigger cities are doing. So if you need, for example, an ordinance or resolution to check to see how much it'll cost for your next ticket if your grass is too high, you can actually go online and get that kind of stuff now, whereas before well, just like 2 years ago, you couldn't even get that kind of information. You actually had to go down and walk and talk to the city clerk, and she'd have to pull it and that kind of stuff. So
right.
As far as the city goes, the city is making pretty good strides in trying to be we're not at the forefront, but, you know, trying to bring everything up to speed right now. So I think between that and Wichita Falls itself, it's not as technologically advanced as, you know, some cities of equal size, because, you know, some things around here, a lot of people are dragging their feet on. So, for example, if we go to, say, I'm going to use Wichita, Kansas as an example, you know, they have citywide Wi-Fi. Whereas Wichita Falls, we can't even get citywide Wi-Fi, and it's not that big of a city. You know,
you're saying that instead of, like, what, 3G or something, will we have 4G, or how's that work? I'm not so exactly sure how that works.
I'm sorry. For example, when you go into Books A Million or Starbucks, when you go to Starbucks, you can connect to their Wi-Fi and get free internet access. There
right.
are some cities that have that throughout the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to, you know, connect to 3G. You don't have to connect to 4G. You can use the city Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can take your laptop in
and you can just travel in your car, basically, and still use the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you can travel. Like, say you're sitting in a parking lot at the mall.
Right.
And, you know, you can take your laptop, connect to the city Wi-Fi, and do your internet surfing and that kind of stuff. So that's where I think that it falls behind. And as a nation, we fall behind as a nation, because there's countries like China and all them other good places that have fast internet access for cheaper prices. So, for example, like at my house, I have a 50 meg connection. You know, if I went to China, that's considered like slow. And then I pay all the extra money. They pay a fraction of the cost of their internet connections than we do.
Is that because we don't have the capability, or is it because it would cost the consumer too much money?
I think that it's a little bit of that we don't have the infrastructure in place, but the other part of it is that it has to do with money. As long as you can give people slow internet connection speeds for higher prices, why would you try to give them faster internet connection for slower prices? You're cutting into your bottom line. You're cutting into your profits. So keep it the way it is.
Well, I understand
money.
That. But,
yeah.
You know what? I really hate money. I just do. I wish you could go back to pennies and shells.
but you
would think that would benefit all humanity to have equal speeds of internet. You know, how many businesses would benefit from that? Because I know for a fact, because I was in the service, that the internet services that the services get, their computers are always crashing, their internet's always crashing, their servers are always crashing. It's always something. And I'm thinking, we spend in billions of dollars of, you know, trying to get that technology into our, you know, into our military service, and half the time it don't even work.
Right. It's because the people don't care about the infrastructure. You know, the things that it takes to keep it up. They think that once it's on, nobody has to maintain it. And nothing could be further from the truth. And once it's on, in order to keep it on, you got to stay on top of your game. You know what I mean? And that's where a lot of people make the mistake. They think that an internet connection, you know, the internet just floats free out of the air. No, this takes people behind the scenes that have to work that stuff, to monitor those servers, to monitor those proxies, to monitor the web pages, to make sure, you know, everything stays up. So, no, there's so much behind the scenes that goes on that don't nobody see. They just think, oh, I just turn on my smartphone or my tablet or my computer, and the internet just magically appears. And that's not the case. So we can take something as simple as, we'll take Time Warner Cable, for example. Do you know how many servers it takes just to run Wichita Falls? You know, Wichita Falls, its internet connection. I mean, it takes a lot, and then it takes a lot of people to maintain that stuff.
Right.
So, but nobody never takes it for granted. But let your internet go out. Then all of a sudden, everybody's wondering, where is their internet? So, you don't miss it if you don't have it. Yeah, you don't miss it if you don't have it.
I know that.
Right.
I couldn't run my show without it.
Right, exactly. I mean, just think of all the people that it takes to run your show that don't nobody know anything about. you know, that person that's behind the server, that person that's maintaining the service, that administrator of the software that it takes to run your radio show, the person that's controlling the radio antennas, the person that maintains those radio antennas. There's so many people involved just so you can do your show tonight.
Right.
But a lot of people don't see that. They just think that the internet pops out of thin air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at one of them. You're listening to one. I didn't know it took off. I'm not a techie guy. I really don't understand other stuff. I wish I did, but it's
right.
Like you said, it's just so much that goes into it. And if you don't have the proper training, then you only know the basic stuff, you know. So
right, and that's why I try to make people aware. Yeah, that's why I try to make people aware that something as simple as the internet, you know what I mean, or you know what everybody calls the internet. Something as simple as that takes so many people to maintain and control and make sure everybody has this luxury, because the internet is really a luxury. So I try to give people that awareness and just say, hey, there's plenty of jobs in keeping the internet up. And I try to encourage people that are going to colleges, you know, hey, believe it or not, you know, information systems is where you want to be, because it's not going anywhere. Find your
right.
specialty in information systems and you could have your lucrative career, not a job, a lucrative career. Because like right now, as a matter of fact, I was looking today where information systems is like one of the fastest growing sectors in private sectors for careers. So when I'm talking to college students, it gives me more insight and more power to tell them, go pick information systems. Because a lot of the place where the internet and information systems being taken to is into the healthcare field. Because a lot of the healthcare people or healthcare businesses, hospitals, clinics, they're making all their medical records electronic. And, you know, since the federal government is requiring them all to make their records electronic, they're going to need people to do that. Right now there's a big shortage of people that's going to do that. So that gives you a chance, if you're in college or if you have an internet, if you have an IT experience, to get out there and try to go do a career that's going to be around for a long time. So when I'm going to talk to my next college students, you know, I'm going to let them know, hey, do information systems and do medical records in the electronics field. So trying to give them a lot of – that will give you a chance to get a career and get off the ground.
So do you think there was any type of entrepreneurship in the electronic field, in technology field?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do so much consulting work. Like I work for the city, but I do just consulting work from people who want to know – I mean, just for little small businesses that, you know, that are too small to have an IT department. So they have to outsource a lot of this stuff to, like, you know, contractors. So, like, some of them are friends of mine. They'll call me and say, hey, can you work on this for me? You know, I go spend a few hours, work on that, do some training with them and that kind of stuff. And, you know, definitely. There definitely is room for entrepreneurship. As a matter of fact, I try to encourage college students, don't go to college to be better workers, go to college to start your own business. Go to college to run your own show. You know,
right.
So, a lot of people go into the idea thinking, well, I'm going to go to college so I can be a better worker. I don't do that. Go to college and be an entrepreneur. Learn how it's done.
Right.
So when I'm teaching them about information systems, I teach them, go in there to be your, go learn a field. You go learn a trade. And go use that to make it to for yourself to make your own money, to make your own way.
Now, is there a specific field that that you see? I know you just brought up the medical part, but is there any
right.
type of field for entrepreneurship itself that you would be a targeted market for the young kids today?
Yeah.
So for example, if the kids wanted to start up like a new operating system, like a PlayStation game, type of thing, would you recommend them teaming up with a company like Microsoft or something like that, and then do a spinoff of that, and then go into their own, then come back to home to their roots like Wichita Falls and start a company here?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is that today the average junior high school kid can create their own apps for a smartphone. This is no kidding. You can get on websites and, yeah, you can get on websites and start doing things like you have an idea for an app. You can get on, I forgot, it's the whole something monkey, something, something, something .com. I have to find the address for you later. I'm sorry, I don't have it off the top of my head. But say you have an idea for an app. It sets up everything for you. You don't have to have any programming experience. You just have to know what you want your app to do. You go through and you start answering stuff, and it starts filling in stuff and doing everything for you. And then you can start, you build your own app. Then you say, well, you want it to be on an Apple app, or do you want it to be an Android app or whatever? And then you can get it out there, get it approved by the Android store, and you can make money like that.
Wow. You know, I tried to create an app through Facebook, and I also went through these other places to create an app so I can get my shows out there without having people to, you know, have to pay for anything or register or anything. And I'm telling you, doing all the what they call the codes and all that stuff, I couldn't understand none of that. That's a little bit above my head. So I'm trying to catch up, but like you said, the technology is moving so fast. If you don't know what you're doing or have even an idea what you're doing, then you get left behind. And the kids these days know how to do that stuff.
Right. And notice I said the average junior high school kid could do that.
right.
Because they've grown up with it. They've seen it. And you know, to create an app for them, they spend a few days, a couple of weeks, you know, with a good idea. They can have their own app. And if somebody like, say, Microsoft likes that app so much and they pick it up for them, they just became instant millionaires. And I've seen so many stories of things that's happened like that where people just find I'll take the Angry Birds app. Everybody knows what Angry Birds is. A couple of college guys did that in their spare time. Now it's one of the biggest selling apps ever. And those guys are multimillionaires. So all it takes is a good idea in a way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I did a show like when I first started. And it was about, is technology a good thing or a bad thing? And what are the, okay, we've talked about all the potentials of technology. What are the shortcomings of technology?
I'm going to have to say the human factor. Because technology can only go so far as the human imagination. If you can't think it or imagine it, then that's where your technology shortage comes in.
Oh, okay.
Because there's almost a way mentally, I mean, if you can find a way, if you can think of it and you can see it, technology changes so much that it's going to either happen, it has happened, or it's about to happen. The only one that I see so far that a lot of people that we haven't reached yet, well, there's a couple. It's, for example, like, I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek, but Transporters. I'm still waiting for that one. I hope that one happens in my lifetime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or food replicators, that kind of stuff. But trust me when I tell you, there's people that's working on trying to find ways to make it happen. So I think technology is only limited by, you know, the human imagination.
Well, I was talking to my wife the other night. We were watching, some show, and I was like, you know what I'm mad about? I'm mad that we don't have hoverboards. Well, they did make a hoverboard.
They do, yeah.
They did, but it didn't work. And I started thinking about the flying cars. And I was like, you know how hard it is to get people licensed to drive on the street, let alone to get them to fly a car? Off the roof.
As a matter of fact, there is a car right now that's a hover car. It can go from land.
Yeah, I've seen it. It is very cool.
Did you see that bad? Oh, man, that's one of the baddest cars I've ever seen.
It's very cool. I thought it was a very neat concept, and it works. That's the thing that's impressive.
Yeah, it works, and that's what's crazy to me is that it works. So,
yeah. But the thing about it is though, everybody don't have license to fly in and out the airport. So.
Right.
So unless you get a pilot's license, then you're pretty much stuck on the land.
Yeah, or they make the city streets into landing strips. I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either. Shoot, we got people running through red lights as it is.
Yeah, no doubt. So now you're just flying through.
But I'm telling you, that would be in my lifetime. I would love to see people flying cars. It would be great. Okay, since we're talking about futuristic stuff, I know I talked about the negative part, but let's skip that. Let's talk about something that you would like to see in your lifetime. because I think that's pretty interesting. What would you, what have the concepts in the past, and I know there's not too many good ones, but what do you envision that you would like to see happen in the future? And I know you said that the teleportation thing, like on Star Trek, which would be a great idea. What's another one?
I would actually like to see the advancement of space travel. You know
wow.
what I mean? I like a lot of sci-fi movies, but, you know, nobody's never really taken technology into the outer space. So I would really like to see the advancement of space travel. So I would like to see that in my lifetime. You know what I mean? The big Star Trek or Star Wars ships that are in outer space. That's what I'd really like to see.
Well, you know what I'd like to see? And I know this might sound kind of weird, but I would like to see a process when we can disintegrate all trash. That way we're not polluting the earth and throwing trash in the ocean and all that kind of stuff, or putting it in space. I heard space is a junk pile up there. They make it sound like space is beautiful, but they don't know what really people send up there. They send trash up in the spaceships and stuff and dump it.
Yep.
They can at least send it towards the sun, at least. Jeez.
Yeah. I wish there was, you know, I like that because the way you would think the technology, you know, would have found a solution for it now, you know, a more better way to get rid of trash instead of just
right.
dumping it in the oceans, you know, and then let whatever happens, happens. So,
right.
yeah, that would be a good idea, too. Because you just can't burn it, you know. Some places,
no, you can't
some
burn.
Places you probably can burn, but you can't burn at all.
You can't burn everything. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. Maybe we could, you know, use that beaming technology that you were talking about and beam it halfway to the sun and just let the sun burn it up.
Beam it to Jupiter or something. You know, ain't nobody there.
What? See, they would junk it up the galaxy. And then,
yeah, but I think with all those storms and all that, because, you know, that atmosphere, that thing, gas, we wouldn't have to worry about it.
Hey, I agree. Okay, I got you. That gravitational pull will come and get it and then burn
yeah,
it all up
over.
Or whatever,
yeah.
Yeah, freeze it or whatever. So, yeah,
right.
That'd be cool. I would also like to see, and I shouldn't say this, but I would also like to see technology where everybody could wear clothes. Because when I was in Iraq, those poor little babies didn't have no clothes. They had no shoes on. They were naked. I'm like, these poor babies ain't got nothing. And I said that I shouldn't say I didn't. Or didn't. I had to specifically be careful how I said it because I don't want to make the concept that I want everybody to be uniformed or anything. But,
right.
you know, to be able to have clothes. I mean, I got clothes right now that I've gained maybe 50 pounds that I can't fit. I give it to the Salvation Army or something like that or the Goodwill, and then Goodwill sells it out or something like that. And there's still tons of clothes out there, and none of these kids still don't have any clothes. It's kind of weird to me, so I don't understand it. But
yeah, I think, you know, like you and I, we've traveled the world, and we've seen the world. You know
yeah,
what I mean? We've
sure.
seen things that in the world that's hard to explain why. You know, and I think that once mankind, and this is just me going off on a little tangent, that once mankind starts thinking about, you know, everybody as opposed to who can get rich the fastest, then I think that's when we'll become a better world. Until then,
yeah, for sure.
That's why we're stuck where we are right now. So,
Did you see the movie Total Recall?
Oh, yeah. Which one, the new one or the old one?
The new one.
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
I wish we could have one of those things that we could travel you know, we don't have to wait. We don't have to because I was stationed in Germany. It took 18 hours to get to Louisiana. And I tell you what, if we could cut that down to like an hour,
yeah,
I love it.
Oh man, you stationed in Germany too? I was. Too.
Yeah, I was stationed in Baumholder.
Oh man, I was stationed in Mainz, Germany. At the time when I was over there, it was Lee Barracks, but I think they changed it into something else now. So.
Yeah, I know where Mainz Barracks is.
Yeah, that's where I was stationed at.
I had to frequent that place.
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, don't you miss the schnitzels?
Oh, man. And the pommes frites with, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, with the gravy?
With the gravy. Oh, man, over here, everybody do French fries with ketchup. Over there, they do it like gravy or mayonnaise.
Yeah, but don't worry. I told my wife how it is, and she makes the best schnitzel and fries and gravy. Woo! So
oh, man, I need to come to your house.
Come over and get a little. You need to get you a plate.
Man, because I can appreciate the schnitzel.
Oh, Lord, let me stop talking. I'm just getting hungry.
Right on.
Anyway, so let's talk about technology because I'm.
Because we don't got hungry.
We talking about schnitzels. Oh, let me ask you a question. I know we ain't got no affiliation no more. But when you were in Iraq, did you eat some of that fried chicken on the local market?
Oh no, I did it one time.
Oh man, I almost threw up when I ate it, man.
Oh,
I'm telling you,
man. Yeah,
it,
no.
Dude, when I see those chickens and what those chickens was walking in.
Oh, man, I couldn't even do those chickens without a good beard.
Anyway, technology. I wish we could burn trash. Because that place needs it. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, man.
Anyway, So do you think in our lifetime we'll see oil or petroleum products go away from cars, and there'll be more, you know, electric or solar or something like that?
You know, that's a good question. And the problem with going totally electric or going totally solar is that nobody finds any profit in it. You know, because when you start talking about cutting into oil profits, you get a lot of upset people. But I think that the day when we run out of oil and we really have to, that'll be the day that we see it. So I don't know if it's going to be in our lifetime.
You said run out.
Yeah. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of oil. And oil, a lot of people think that oil just makes gas. But, you know, oil makes, you know, bottles for bottled water, plastics, you know, Vaseline. There's a lot of things that are oil-based.
Right.
So I think that, you know, when that oil starts running low and you can't make those kind of things no more, then that's when you'll see the changes made.
I know this is not your field. I know this is not your field, but it's still on the technology tip. Do you think we should break bread? I shouldn't say break bread. Do you think we should break ground in Alaska and pipe into the oil? I know this is not technically it is because we have to have technology to get the technology from the oil here to the United States. I mean, from Alaska to the continental United States. So. Do you think that we should tap in? And if you do think we should tap in, what type of technology we have to use in order for security, in order for products to be safely processed and delivered? So I guess you'd say transportation. And then the commerce part where who's gonna profit from it based on the technological advances that they're going to have to do in order to have all this stuff done for the pipeline.
Okay, I'm thinking that, and this is I've seen this and I've looked at it and I've researched it and I've tried to study it a little bit. I think it's more trouble than what it's worth. Because for example. You're saying move all the oil from Alaska to wherever it needs to be all over the United States using whatever technological means necessary. To me, why would you waste the time doing that when you could be using your technological advancements on cleaner energy, renewable energy? We have a sun that puts out unlimited energy, and we still haven't harnessed that in the proper way. We have the wind that puts out energy, and we still haven't harnessed that the right way because we focus so much on the word oil. And by us focusing so much on oil, I think it'd be like, remember a minute ago when I was talking about how technology is, you know, you can advance technology. The technology is only held back by the human imagination. As long as there's oil there, it's not making nobody think on how we can harness our other resources. So the technology doesn't advance. All we have to do is find a way to build some metal pipes and get some oil from up north and bring it down south, and then we think that we're doing good. Yeah, maybe for us, but what about our grandkids? What about our great-grandkids? Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, that oil is going to run out, and we haven't done anything to try to find any renewable fuels. So I think that it's a waste of time money and effort when if you just use the technology and advance the technology that we have, that you will find out that maybe there's other things out there besides oil, and to do it before anybody else in the world. Because whoever finds it first, that's going to be the next richest country. That's going to be the next United States. So I don't see why you would waste time running oil from Alaska to, you know, the United States. To me, this is the time where you figure out and start working on that renewable energy, start working on the technological advances to have that flying car, to work on that transporter, to get that stuff, and at the same time recycle, reduce, and reuse what we have now. My opinion.
I would agree. I'm all for about that the new, the better way to serve to harness anything that's going to protect our planet, because our planet, she's rebelling on us, and only God knows how long it's gonna last. And so now we have an understanding about, I know because I'm kind of skipping around, but I'm kind of using.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, no, it's okay.
I'm trying to use a base to put to swing some more thoughts into some deeper stuff. But
oh, it's okay. Always come back another show. I don't care.
Okay, this week. Well, you're more than welcome to come back anytime you want.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
So with this economical standstill that we're at, President Obama said that he wanted to have more, be more advanced in technology. So, for example, he wanted, you know, like when we were stationed in Germany, the Germans, their schools led them to a higher education. So if they were going to be mechanics, they went into a track that's going to put them mechanics, and then they would work for Mercedes-Benz or BMW, and they spend like 3 or 4 or 5 years just learning about that technology, and then when they graduate, they're guaranteed a job.
Yeah.
So is that something that you could agree with as a techie? You know what I'm saying? Like if the school switched to tracking only towards, for example, if you wanted to go in the medical field, let's use the medical field like you said, you wanted to go in the medical field, but you want to do the technological part of the medical field, and the schools adapted their programs so when they graduated, when the seniors graduated, they would have at least an associate's degree in that area, so they wouldn't have to start from scratch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. I like that.
So when they go to college, they're going to their bachelor's degree faster to get their master's degree if necessary. But as they come out, they're already ready for the medical field, for the medical world. You know, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I mean, I would like you to answer the question if you could.
Yeah, see, for me, and I hate the way the education system is right now, because they base it that everybody's going to go to college. And once a lot of our kids get to college, they don't know what they're going to do. They don't know what they want to do.
Not a clue.
In junior high, yeah, not a clue. But in junior high, a lot of kids start exhibiting things that they're interested in. And I'm just going to use, you know, I don't know, plumber, for example. There may be kids that's interested in how to do plumbing, but they really can't get their hands on it because the schools are too busy teaching them basics on stuff that they're not even going to use when they graduate, just so they can score high on a test or get into college for them to go learn their career. But a lot of careers, believe it or not, you don't learn them in college. A lot of trade schools, when I was coming up, there was trade schools, like, you know, you could, if you were good at mechanic, if you were good at machining, there were tracks for you to do that. I remember Hershey here had, I think it was the airplane mechanic school inside of Hershey. So if you want to be an airplane mechanic, then Hershey had that, where, like, you didn't just go and do traditional, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic classes. You actually did airplane mechanic classes. So when you left there with your diploma, you had that. You had a chance to go to college with a head start on what it took to be an airplane mechanic, or you knew enough to go and work as an airplane mechanic. Now, how cool is that? You know what
that's
I mean?
Awesome.
To me, that was the thing. To me, Hershey High School here in Wichita Falls, they had it right. if you, you know, and it wasn't for everybody. If you wanted to do it and you could do it, they put it in your hands for you to be able to do it. Same way if you just want to be a regular old mechanic. You know what I mean? Certain schools, I think it was Harold here, gave you a chance to do that. But now they don't do it no more. They're too busy trying to worry about passing a test.
Right. Well, where I grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana, we actually had a Boeing company in my hometown. So that program would have benefited them. They could have just went to Lake Charles and got them a job right out of high school because there was an actual Boeing company that was building planes. So I mean, they could go, like you said, go straight out of high school. And I might have to wait until after this segment to talk about it, but I'll make reference to it. So I will say I do not like testing in high school. I understand there's some testing, but to base a child's knowledge on something they need to learn and regurgitate is not education.
That's not education.
Because I agree with you. It does not measure the intelligence of the individual. It measures how well they can take a test.
Yes.
So that's the way I agree with you.
And you should have a show on that and have me back on that one because that's a whole nother show in itself. I hate standardized testing.
Well, we get offline. When I hit you up tomorrow, we will definitely schedule that. We got to do a little research, give the people out there some numbers and facts because you know how people are. They love numbers and facts and statistics.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Depending on where you get them from.
Oh, you can get them because right now, you know, we're in Texas right now. You look at all the, right now, the big topic is the C-scope results and the STARS test results. Oh, man.
I don't know what that is.
Okay,
thank you. I appreciate that. It is something. And this is the thing. So do you think now instead of papers from taking the test, kids are going to get iPads and they're going to be able to take their test on that?
They should have already did that. They should already be doing that. My son right now has an iPad that he's ahead of the technological curve in his school, so they won't allow him to use iPads because they're not iPad ready. You know what I mean?
Right.
So to me, and you remember, I don't know if you remember, when we were coming up, we had a book for every class. So you'd have to go to your locker, switch your history book for your math book at the end of math class, switch your math book for your health book, or you carry two or three books at a time so you didn't have to go to your locker.
Right.
The way technology is today, you can put all those books on a tablet.
Right.
And those kids can—it just boggles me why nobody has come up with the way to make this stuff happen.
You are so right. You are so right because all you got to do is just pop that little iPad on, and the teacher got an iPad, and then she can just put the iPad on one of those overhead projectors, and everybody is on the same page. You don't have to worry about people flipping pages. And you can cut off the internet so the kids won't look at the internet.
Exactly.
All you got to do is download the books.
And if there's a change, you know how books have different editions or whatever. If there's a change in that edition, so be it. You just tell the kids the first day of school, download your new editions, blah, 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 blah.
They update by themselves. I mean, you got an Android.
Yeah.
They update by themselves.
I think the only problem you have with the electronic books is you remember when we had the books themselves, the paper books, we'd always turn to the back to try to find the answers in the index. you won't have that no more. But,
no, you won't
know,
have it. No.
They can always put
a section back there for it, though.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, why hasn't nobody? I think that whoever figures that out is going to be the next millionaire in Texas. So if you can find a way to get school books on tablets as opposed to going around trying to regurgitate, you know, standardized testing material, you're going to hit the mother load.
I think that's the best way to do it because if you don't have to worry about – okay, I don't know if you – I know because we're talking about education, but it's – I guess this is kind of in the same frame. There was this teacher, I think she was in – I mean this superintendent in D.C. She was having it was under investigation and it's alleged. She said it didn't happen, but people said it was – other people said she did it. So basically what was happening was when she took the position – the scores from schools that usually scored below average all of a sudden jumped above average. And so when they went to do an audit or whatever, they found out that people were erasing answers and making the answers correct. So,
yes.
Yeah. So
I don't blame them.
So doing that whole, you know, if you – it's kind of like nowadays how the driver's ed, the driver's testing, when you go – you got a computer now. You don't go do the paper stuff. So
once you press
the answer, you can't go back. Well, you can go back to it, but once you turn it in, you're done.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box. But some people call me a rebel.
No, I agree with you. I think that I believe in that old adage, you know, for sports, using the sports vernacular, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I mean, like, taking a standardized test, and you know, to me, you know, that's a waste of time, money, and effort just so you
for
can
sure.
continue to get federal dollars. But you ain't teaching kids. Standardized testing, to me, doesn't teach kids how to think or how to be creative or how to make decisions or how to do basic living skills. It teaches them how to regurgitate information that they've seen over and over again from the teacher.
That's right. And then the teachers
the teachers are the same way because they're being forced. They're not being allowed to be creative with how they teach. Some of the best teachers I had, we had books in that class, but she didn't use the books. You know what I mean? She would use them as material, as reference material, but she would teach and let her name. I remember her name. She was an English teacher. Her name was Miss Merrill. God rest her soul. She was one of the best teachers I ever had. I couldn't stand literature. I couldn't stand English. I figured as long as I could speak it, why do I care how to structure this sentence? Anyway, one day we were reading. Everybody in high school read Romeo and Juliet. You know, and I thought it was some of the most boring stuff I'd read in junior high. I'd read it my freshman year when she was my sophomore English lit teacher. When she broke down, it took her 10 minutes to get me interested in Shakespeare. The way she put it was that Shakespeare was all about sex, murder, kill, incest. Every bad thing that you could think of was in all of Shakespeare books. I was like, how do you figure? And then she told me, you know, the real Romeo and Juliet, not the stuff that they teach us how is a beautiful love story, but the whole thing. You know what I mean? She told me, you know, go read his other works like Titus Andronicus. You know, go read Othello. And so when I would, I started getting more interested in that. Yeah, because that stuff was deep, and that's not the stuff that, you know, they go around teaching. You don't see nobody reading Othello.
Well, you know why. We all know why.
But her as a teacher, she had the creative idea and the creative mind to see that I wasn't interested, to see that I didn't care, that I didn't even want to know English literature, to point me in a direction and say, go learn this, go read this. And by the time I started reading, I was coming back asking her questions, and it gave her a chance to teach me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what I think, that a lot of the school system is lacking a chance for kids to open up their minds and be creative and be inquisitive. It's basically just shut up, shut off your mind, take this information I'm giving you, go pass this test, all right, now you're good enough to graduate.
Right. And the way I look at it, too, to add to that point, is I always say that the school system itself is handicapping or handcuffing the teachers because their evaluation or their job is linked to how well the students do.
Right.
So if you're saying that you can't teach or affect certain students because some of the students are just too smart to sit in class and try to be force-fed this material when they call them, you know, they got HAD or whatever it's called, or, you know.
ADHD.
Okay, maybe they do have it, but maybe if you stop teaching that nasty old stuff they don't want to swallow and teach them something and keep their minds competitive instead of, you know, it's like you said, the old way of doing things is not the same way to this generation because they think totally different and their minds are like computers. I mean, I'm like computers too, but we had a certain, a certain program in us that slowed us down. Now kids these days, they ready to go. They don't have to worry about, I'll put it this way. Kids nowadays may have to put up with bullying and a little bit of racism, but when it comes to learning in the classroom, them kids ready to learn. I mean, you can't tell me that a kid that is really young, who's enthusiastic, ready to color and do the ABCs, all of a sudden is a bad student. I mean, I just don't.
Right.
I don't get it.
I don't bother.
So I think that the teacher shouldn't be handicapped or be connected to the children for their jobs, because just like in the military, we get evaluated on our overall performance. We're not evaluated because one of our soldiers decided to go get drunk and bust up the bar, you know, and he got an Article 15. We don't get judged by that, because that's the individual.
Right.
We get judged by our overall performance and what we did in our lane to do to make us better and to make the Army better, period. So I think that teachers who are doing that should be rewarded for that. And I'm not in the school system. I'm going to get into the school system, but I just don't see it. I really don't. And I think technology, like you said, is the key, because it's just there's too much stuff floating around that's positive that we can bring into the classrooms and make these kids learn a lot more.
Right, and technology has made everything so accessible to kids nowadays. For us, when we had to do our term papers, we had to go to the library, fill out your note card, fill out this, do that. Well, today I watched my 17-year-old, not today, but last year I watched my 17-year-old son do his term paper. It took him all of 3 days. For us, doing a term paper was a six-week grueling test of will.
Right, because they told us we couldn't use the internet.
When I was doing my term papers, it wasn't on the internet.
We could not use the internet, even though it was available. We couldn't use it, but we could reference at least one. reference. But then we had to go to the library and go check out.
When I was in high school in the mid-80s, there wasn't no internet. So you had to go to the library and do your thing. And you had to print each note card. You had to handwrite them. There wasn't no typing or nothing like that. You know what I mean? For me, it's like, you know, and then I'm watching my son, like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing my term paper. When is it due? Oh, Friday. I'm thinking, you got 6 weeks to do it? Oh, no, I could have it done in no time. Because all the information he needs is right there. The only limitations that, you know, the teacher puts on him is, like, you can't use, like, Wikipedia. You can't use, I mean, you got to go to reputable sources. So if you're quoting some CNN article or something like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I understand that. You know, you can't just go to Wikipedia and say, well, according to Wikipedia, not that one.
Do kids have to even learn the Dewey Decimal System? Because I'm curious.
Man. Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm just curious.
I don't think so,
man. I mean, it took me a long time when I was in school, grammar school, to learn the Dewey Decimal System. And I still remember how to do it because I struggled so hard at it. But I'm thinking, next time I see my daughter, I'm gonna have to ask her, because I don't know. She's a freshman. I don't know if she even knows.
Walk into the library. I'm sorry not to cut you off, but this is what I noticed.
My daughter is now my daughter from my previous marriage. She's doing algebra like in seventh and eighth grade, and I'm like,
yeah,
wow. Wow. I understand math and numbers are the way to life, but you know, y'all start sending stuff home that I don't quite understand. And the thing that kills me is they don't send home books. They're like, we don't need books. Then where are we paying our taxes for then?
Right. But you know what? It goes back to that whole technology. It goes back to our kids are that smart. You know what I mean? Our kids, we're selling them. I think that our people, our generation, are holding the intelligence of our kids back. Because you can teach a seventh grader algebra. Algebra. I didn't even pick up algebra until like my sophomore year in high school.
That's right.
So to me, it's like you got a seventh grader learning algebra. What's stopping them from learning calculus at eighth grade? Advancing that mind of theirs, you know.
Right.
So to me, that we're holding them back.
I don't know if there's a program out there, but is there a program out there for math?
Yes.
Like a program where they can go in and actually do some of those scale models and math and the chemistry. Like, couldn't they actually build a molecule and all that stuff? Because I don't know.
They have apps on your cell phone where you can do that kind of stuff. Yes.
Oh, really?
Factors out there. Yeah.
That kind of stuff already exists.
Oh, well, I'm a little slow.
No, oh, man, I'm telling you, those kids, these kids like my son, when he has to work on some math problem, it's like I'll have him pull it up on his iPhone and we'll practice while I'm driving into school.
Right.
So,
wow. I mean,
yeah, it's already here.
Man, that's awesome. I mean, to have that at your hands. Now, my two oldest kids have cell phones, and then my third artist daughter, I was just talking about, has a cell phone, but my youngest daughter don't have a cell phone. And the reason why I don't want to have a cell phone, because all her little friends have cell phones, I don't think my daughter, mentally, I don't think my daughter's ready for that, you know, because she's still getting over people bullying her. So to have, you know, have access to the internet, oh, you know, me and my wife, to tell you the truth, me and my wife, we've only lived here about a year, and so we're really terrified because our family, well, their family comes from a small town in Blue River, Oregon, and the population of black people is, I was the third black person, but my children are half white and half Mexican, and so coming here, the diversity of black and white and Hispanic is pretty cool. But like I said, her class, when she went to elementary, they only had 12 kids in their class. So
right.
Next year she's going to have to go to Burke Burnett, and we're kind of terrified. So so can you give us some tips?
Actually, and it's funny you should say that, because Burke Burnett just won a grant for the tech things that I can't remember exactly what it was. Something to do with tech. They just won a technology grant or award for doing something special with technology there. I can't remember exactly what it was. I just read it in passing. And I think that's not a bad idea for you to go do that.
Well, I'm not saying that Burke Burnett's a bad school. We're not afraid of that. What we're afraid of is she's not mature yet enough to go there. She's going from a small classroom to a huge classroom, and with a lot of students from sixth grade on up to eighth grade, and it's kind of one of and so the way she is now, her education is hampered because she's constantly thinking about the social aspect of it, that people don't like her, and then she's hindered from really thriving, and because she's a really smart kid, but she gets so caught up in the social aspect that her educational part gets hampered from that. So it's good to hear that they got a technology grant, because she's really good at that stuff. But she's really great at art. She can really draw. I mean, she can draw some phenomenal stuff, and she's only 10. So.
Okay, and you know what that, and this, you know, on your technology subject, you know the careers that she could have with art? You know, like when you're doing video game design. Yeah, architecture, video game designs, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So you got to, you know, really, really, technology can be applied to any of it. And if she likes art, man, let her look into video game design. You know what I mean? Because there's so much money in that. That's like a $1 trillion industry.
Right.
So
what kind do you know what the kind of education they need for that kind of stuff? I mean,
it's not something you can just go and learn in school. You know, you have to go to special schools for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can
get
a degree. You can get degrees in, you know, I forgot what it's called. But you can either get degrees in, or you can go to special schools for it. And I would say go to special schools, because those are the ones that help you find the careers and help you find the jobs in it. So,
right. I'd rather her do that than be a tattoo artist. So,
yeah. Hey, but on the other side of it, being a tattoo artist, you know, she could be her own entrepreneur. She could have her own tattoo shop. And ain't nothing like a little young sister with a tattoo parlor.
Oh, man. So, look, if you need to go, because I know it's getting late for you, that's cool. If you want to hang around, we only got 36 minutes left, so if you want to hang around and we can still chat it up, that would be great.
I would love to, but the Celtics and Lakers are playing right now.
Hey, okay, I got you.
If you want to schedule that next one, and we can talk more about school and that kind of stuff, just let me know. I'm always around. You have my number.
Yes, all right. I'll hit you up tomorrow.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
I thank you for being here, sir. All right. God bless. Take care.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. All right, listeners, how you doing? This is George Beverly on the Sound Off Forums, and that was Mr. Patrick Gray talking about technology, and we appreciate his call. He definitely was a joy to speak with, and it's people like that that I love getting on the show. Local person. I've never met him personally. I know of him through other entities, and he came on to talk about what he does as a profession. He talked about how he does things with the youth. He does things with the senior citizens in the community. He does things for small businesses. He is involved in the community, and that is what we need. I think we get so wrapped up on, okay, the Lakers. Thank you. I appreciate that, Brother Charles. The Lakers are winning. The Lakers are winning. Maybe I should turn on the game. Hey, what channel the game on? What channel the game on? let me flip on the TV real quick. Shoot, if everybody watching the game, I can watch the game while I'm on TV. I mean, while I'm on the radio. So, yeah, he came on and he was talking about some awesome stuff, and I appreciate people taking their time and doing what they can for the community, because it's, like I said, in every time I usually talk about this time, I say it's time for us to be more productive in our communities. It's not everybody's calling, and I understand that. It's not everybody's time to be activated, and I understand that as well, because I'm just now being activated. Brother Charles, can you tell me that quote? Okay, come on, call in, brother. Hey, please call in. Eric, telephone number is 347. Matter of fact, let me call you. Let me call you, and then we get this on. And then you could talk about what you want to talk about in here for a second, my brother. I got your number right here. I'm about to call you right now. Call you right now. Let's get you on. All right. I don't have to do a lot of talking tonight. We're going to get it on. This is a man of God. He about to take us on the Nexus level. Uh-huh. We about to elevate this right now. So, here we go. I'm calling you right now, my brother. Hopefully I got the right number.
What it do, big baby?
What it do? Praise him.
you guys, big baby. You know he love you. You talk like he love you.
Can you
sound an awful all the time. I'm sitting up here almost every day listening to you just doing that.
can you say your name and where you're from so everybody the audience know who you
are? My name is Charles Ronan, L-O-N-O-N. It's like the bridge without a D. God gave me my hood name used to be Charlie Chan, but then I got saved about 16 years ago, and God gave me Brother Charles, but I put a B-R-A and Charles on it because, you know, a lot of times when, you know, people meet you, you know, they forget your name. So, you know, I just want to let them know that I'm like your brother, you know, but lately I've been putting big on it because, you know, it just learning to be the bigger person in such a time as this with knowledge. And you know how we talk all the time, right?
Hey, look, if this is your time, you got 31 minutes. Go ahead, say what you got to say. I want you to talk about the Nexus stuff. I want you to take us to
okay.
The level.
Well, you know, what was interesting today was, you know, to see that you're talking about computer and tech. And I was like, wow, you know, I was vibing off all the knowledge that, you know, that you were bringing a couple of days, which is really what technology has been able to give us. And something that I was doing yesterday was doing some history, you know, about Black history. And I really realized that, you know, Black history is American history. And technology is going to expose the truth, especially when you were talking about Black Wall Street. You know, I heard of it, but I never researched it. And when I researched it, you know, I got the truth. And it's important in such a time as this that we, you know, we get understanding. One of the things that I live by, and I got this from my, I call him my daddy in the ministry, Creflo Dollars, and all you get and get understanding. That comes from the Bible, but, you know, that's important because a lot of times we're angry and mad about stuff and we don't understand. And like I've told you before, you know, with, especially my generation, you know, we're at this point now that we don't know where we're going unless we know where we come from. And technology is a great tool to get understanding, you know, in such a time as this. And with this knowledge is to be able to share this knowledge. And that's what technology has done. It's been able to help us to share knowledge. You know what I'm saying? But we gotta make sure, like I told you before, that what Martin Luther King taught me, he said, you know, as a black man, I'm a black Hispanic man, is that, you know, if you're 30 years old and you haven't found anything to fight for, you shouldn't even be living.
That's what
you
I'm
know,
talking
and,
about. I used that yesterday, brother. Thank you.
And I truly believe, you know, that I went to God about that because it troubled me. It really did because I'm like, well, I didn't, you know, that's kind of big, ain't it? But then God had shared with me that it's my ignorance. It's ignorance. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We have to, before I start, you know, talking about your ignorance, I better check my ignorance.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the great thing. And we talked about how, you know, I'm so blown away by your debate, you know, how you really brought this sense of debate and helped me really understand this kind of thing about debate, and which is what politics is all about. You know, because if you watch it on TV, you wonder, how are they talking like that? You know, they wouldn't talk like that in my hood. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in a debate is, bring your stuff, I bring my stuff. You know, and let's work it out. Let's reason together. The Bible is a perfect example of being able to reason together. You know, that's what the Bible does, is it makes us reason together. It gives us a table to, you know, the thing is that you get to set it, you know? And
that's,
you know,
right.
And it gives us neutral ground. You know, and the thing that we got to remember with the Bible is that you can't know it all. Cuz once you think you know it all, you can't. Now, this is what God has shown me through technology, because I do 3D animation, post-production, multimedia, and all that stuff, just like my brother Gray does stuff out there and stuff like that. But when God took me out, I gave up technology, but he gave it back to me, okay? Then I went to I got my dream job, and in that dream job, I'm doing my dream job, but I'm studying, I'm grinding on this high tech, because I'm working for the military doing 3D animation, post-production, all this stuff like that, but I still had to read the word. I still had to read the word, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I was getting to the point where I was doing more technology than I was the word. And then I got to the point I realized, I realized I started worshiping technology.
Okay, come on now. You're speaking the truth now.
I was worshiping technology. Then all of a sudden God had to help me understand I was treating it like the Temple of Babel. And as we know, the Temple of Babel, we made that so that we could show our greatness and how good and great we are. Now, you know, working for the military, that's a whole another nexus level, okay? Which a lot of people who have never been in the military, have not even been around the military, could never understand until they have been in there. I was blessed not to have to sign my name, you know, on that line and give up my behind. You see what I'm saying? But I was a contractor. But I deal with people that was in the military, and again, nothing wrong with the military. You just got to have the right mind frame. If you go in there with the wrong mind frame, you don't get jacked. You don't get really, 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 really jacked. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But, you know, if you have the right mind frame in serving, and here lies the biggest word, serving.
Wow.
Technology is just a tool that God has created so that we can what? Serve. How do I know this? Because look at how the internet is now. I would never be able to grow in my understanding so that I can remove myself from this ignorance, so that I can learn to be the bigger person. You know, and technology today is a tool of God. I truly believe that you know, you want to empower somebody, teach them their history. But there's some bitter stuff in the history, bruh. There's some bitter stuff in that history, man. You know, and if you don't go in and get understanding, how can you stop the pain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in such a time as this, we have to learn, you know, to share and care. I mean, technology is so much like the Word of God. You can't know it all. You know, like my brother Gray, I didn't get to hear him all and stuff, but we both do computer technology, but we don't do it in the same area. It's big. It's vast. It's so vast that a lot of people don't understand. I understand this working with technology, and there's a few other people that understand that too, but to me, in the physical, the greatest darkness is the Internet. Because right now, the United States is spending billions of dollars for security. Internet security, dude. And guess who's paying for it? We are.
We are.
You know, they can hear what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, okay. that's where we're at, you know? And the thing is that, you know, my only issue with President Obama is that we're putting all our money into technology so that we can be number one and all this stuff, and we're not putting it in people. And in such a time as this, it's time for community time. It's time to go back and remember and go back to and remember how Mom and them did it. Because a lot of people are trying to keep up with the challenges. You were talking about the phone, the cell phone. Do you understand? Spiritually, in the spiritual realm, how the enemy is working to kill the family to get to the dad through the phone, cell phone. Because there's kids right now that won't obey their parents until they get that new phone. You know what I'm saying? For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Exactly. And it's very vital that, you know, that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. One thing I deal with within the community services that I deal with is that you got a lot of mature, wise, elders, okay? But some of them are ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's technology. You can't. Technology is not going to do it for you. You know, you still got to have relationships, but it's a bridge. Because now we can touch the whole world. Oh, but think if you're using it for the Lord, can you think you could touch the whole world now? Oh, yeah. Mm. You know? And we're in such a time as this that, you know, we're in the last days, you know? And the thing is, it's a joy, you know, especially if you're in the Word of God. And you can't be afraid of technology. It's just a tool. But the thing is who's telling you to use it? How are you using it? I taught my altar kids this. I can't remember if it's in Corinthians, but it says in everything you eat, in everything you do, it says in everything you eat, whatever thing you do, eat or drink, but in also everything you do, do it unto the Lord.
Right.
We have to really think about when we're on this technology, what are we doing besides worry and stress and trying to keep up with the Joneses? That are we doing for God? You know?
That's right.
And here lies it is that we should be doing this stuff for the community. Like I told you before, I truly believe it. Genesis 28:3. God has given us gifts and talents so that we can become a community of people. Not a clique of people. Not a four no more people, but a community of people. You know, I love the church world, but I didn't come up in the church world. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I truly believe that there's a lot more leaders, you know what I'm saying, that need to be out in the community. And the thing is that when you get out there in the community, it ain't about you doing it by yourself. You know? It's about unity. You know? It's about going to battle, going to war. You know, because one thing about the military that I like is that, you know, especially the Marines, you know, that, you know, they're going in to serve, and they could die. They're going in, you know, they could die. You know, when you go into war or battle, you could die. But it's not for themselves. It's for our country. That's worthy.
Right.
And I can understand by living by that we would have enemies. And we got enemies.
Hey, that's why I read Ephesians 6:6-13 for people every night. Because they need to really understand what's going on. It's spiritual warfare. And, and if you don't know what spiritual warfare, like I said the other night, and I was talking about, what was I talking about? I was talking about how slavery, you know, slavery was bad and stuff, but they were using it for human sacrifices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now,
like I said, that's just my perspective. But if you are on a spiritual plane, you have to understand, like you said, the ignorance, because
yes.
they allowed the fear, the anger, all the other fruits that Paul warned us against, the evil
yes.
parts of it. That's what they were enduring, even though they may have been good white people. But all of that energy, that spiritual energy, leaped off of one another, and all those spirits, okay, because we know about the spirit of Legion, right?
Yes.
So when God took that Legion out and he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Legion. I have many spirits." And he took that spirit. He said, don't cast us out. Please cast us into these hogs." And the hogs ran off the cliff. He placed the Legion, which meant many demon spirits, into those hogs, and they committed suicide on themselves. Now, so if you could take that one parable itself and think
yeah.
about if there is another Legion in today's society. I don't know if you heard Mr. Nash talk about how he really kind of felt that it was kind of set up, because not only did it happen in Tulsa, but it happened around the United States.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of getting to this point where the spirit world had got into them and made them.
Yeah.
Some people may disagree
yeah.
with me, but if you understand the wickedness of the devil and his
yeah.
his deceitfulness,
yeah,
then it's easy to kill somebody.
Oh yeah, but you said something more profound, and
something
more profound in the last two times that you talked, is that the sacrifice stuff that was big, because if you think of the Old and the New Testament, it's about sacrifice.
It's all about
and we're dealing with cults. Remember cults and symbols and stuff?
That's right.
You when you hit on that, it really made me just, kind of like, okay, now you got to understand the past and the stuff that has happened to say, okay, wait a minute, this is wrong.
Oh yeah.
You know,
to cut you off, but
no, you're good.
I want to keep it on that same dimension, but. The devil wanted to take over heaven. He wanted to be above God. And so
yes.
in order to be God, everything that he does mirrors God in a way. But when he mirrors God, everything is in dark and God is in light. And so when they talk about, when these people talk about, if God had sacrifices and then Jesus came and took away the sacrifices, then what is the devil doing?
Mm. Mm.
Is the devil, has devil son his Messiah yet? Has Antichrist came? Has he died for the devil? No, he hasn't came. They said there's been many Antichrists, but we know that the Antichrist, they said there are ones like the Antichrist, but the Antichrist has not came yet. So he is still creating, he is still conducting sacrifices till today.
Yeah.
In order to please him. And so,
boy.
Like I said, we've got to really understand the mirror image of the devil and what he does in order to make us look like we will surely die, but we don't. All we're doing is, like you said, we are sinful creatures in our spirit. And until we find out and put down our ignorance, because we think we know everything.
Well, also, you remember.
We're going to be deceived by the devil.
Also, remember, I told you, when I meet you all the time or we talk, I say the devil is a liar.
He is.
That's what he do. He do what he do.
He do what he do.
And he do it good, because one thing I know about the devil is that he's not smart. He's just old. Because he's just old.
That's
he just do the same thing over and over again. You know, because I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, I know that I can go to Jesus. I realized in my 16 years of the Lord that there's no 12-step program, bro. There's only a 1-step program.
That's it.
You know, I mean, and I know my preach. I know what my preach is. My preach is submit to God. How do you submit to God, Brother Charles? You know, you got all this. You talk all like that. Well, you know, I get this from Romans 10:2-4. We had a zeal of God. Oh, yeah, we ready to play church, but not according to God's knowledge. What is God's knowledge? That Jesus is my righteousness, and there's nothing I can do to make myself right. That's why, you know, I like to communicate with you, because we don't put each other on a pedestal. You see what I'm saying? We realize we're right because of who we hear. Who we hear. We're willing to hear M.O.G. You hear me?
Yeah.
And the thing is that when he say, I got to say, you got to do. But the thing is, you better check your ignorance before you do. Ooh, did I say that? I thought I was preaching for a minute there. But Allah,
you do,
if you hear me,
your flesh,
you know, sound
you
off.
Your flesh going to rise up. You got to say a prayer right there immediately. Boy, I tell you what, the devil is beating me up in the head the last couple hours. The devil was beating me up in the head. And I tell you, it's easy to, and I told this to myself last night. Well, God told me to me last night. My spirit.
Come on.
He said, it's easy to submit to that anger. It's easy to slip back into that old habit. Oh, I want to punch you in the face. You just make me mad. But
come
you know
on, come
what?
On. Come on.
It takes that the fruits of the spirit to bring you back to where Jesus
wants you know
you
it.
To be.
You know
and
it.
If you don't pray at least six times a day, at
come
least, because let me tell you what.
Sound off, baby. Sound off.
Before I started praying six times a day, I tell you what, I was not activated. Let my yes be my yes and let my nay be my nay. But I tell you, before I started praying six times a day, I was in a bad place. And And you've got to meditate on his word because that is the only thing that's going to keep
day and night. Day and night.
Day and night. You must pick up your cross, and during the day, you know you're carrying that cross.
Who are you not to, bruh? Who are you not to? Because the thing I love that I taught my little kids the other day was, I know you heard what they say about Jesus, but who do you say, bruh?
You say. That's right.
Who
do
you
say?
Because you know how I am. I'm Big Brother Charles. I'm straight up. Really, I don't care about people and stuff, but I care. You know, I'm not saying it in a way, but I have to let the Spirit speak the way it has to be because I got
to
sound off. But really, the only two things that matter to me, if anybody listening, is how do you handle your sin?
Right.
And how do you read your Bible?
Right.
Because some reason these are taboos in the church and out of the church. Everybody ready to take, everybody ready to pick at that splinter in your eye, bruh. But they got a plank in yours. Because when you start dealing with community, oh, Lord, have mercy. And you don't look like what people think you're supposed to look like? Or your family like is supposed to have like? You better know who you serve.
That's it.
Because you can't serve two masters.
I've been saying that for the last 24 hours. I said I cannot put trust in man, but put trust and faith in Christ. Because he's the only one who's driving this train. I'm not driving it. If I think I'm driving, I might as well go ahead and hang up my boots right now because I know about long suffering. I know about forbearing. I mean, I'm telling you, look, I'm not going to testify, but I spent 5 years of my life in total darkness because told me when I was in Iraq, this is a God true story.
Pull it out.
When I was in Iraq, I had a relationship with God that I could not fathom. Every time I went to my room and I started to read my Bible, everything I read was darkness. Because I was in the those prophets, the minor prophets, and they always talked about these dark times. Now, I knew God, and I'm saying, Lord, please, can I pick something up? Even if I'm reading Psalms, can I read something that brings me joy?
Yes.
Look, God already preordained that I'm going to go through times. And I didn't know what kind of times I was going to go through. I spent about 5 years in darkness, wrapped up, binded by the devil himself in the pits of the abyss. Because
keep the rubber on the road, baby.
I did not know the reason why God saved my life. I was 15. I was 15 dying in Iraq. He told me, George, go back to your section. I was going to go talk to my lieutenant because me and him was the two rock about, we talked about
God
all the time. Go
ahead. Shout out. Ain't nobody mad but the devil.
God said for you to go back to your section. I went back to my section. I laid down. Another 15 minutes later, a car came by with some explosives and killed seven of my soldiers.
Sound off.
God saved me, and I didn't. For 5 years, I had sat in my own milk and glue and milk and sat and didn't know why he didn't take me, telling me, Lord, why?
Real talk.
Tell me, Lord, why did you take me?
Come on. Pull it out, man.
Because
this is real talk. This, come on. Come on. Ain't nobody mad but the devil, bro. This is real. This is Black Talk Radio, boy. Come on.
It is really profound that people understand that I am not playing games here. Because
yeah.
I could be dead right now. They called my ex-wife and told them that I had died.
Come on.
And if you don't think that messed up my wife and my daughter, that is psychological warfare that the devil put on my family.
Hey, the devil is a liar.
And I stand today right now to let you know that I spent 5 years in bondage because I didn't know why God saved me.
But I tell you what,
he saved me for the time right now. He knew the time and the day he would activate me.
Come on.
He knew that I would be in Wichita Falls.
Yeah, he did. He got a plan, baby. He got a big plan for you.
And
get a prosper.
And if you think, and I'm telling to my listeners, if you think that I'm sitting up here and I'm just reveling off and thinking I'm just being a mad, angry black man talking about this and that, you best know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the power itself.
Hey, they better read the book.
I'm not talking about, I'm that woman who was going pushing
you read the book.
Crowd and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed.
I hear you, man of God.
I know we're coming kind of cruel, but I got to let people know that.
Keep it personal.
That death is real.
Yes, it is.
And when you have to go and you've got to pick up two sergeant brains and his body parts, and you're the only one to identify with him because you went to basic training with him, and you've got to keep your cool because you're the senior NCO on the ground before everybody else gets there, then you come and talk to me.
Yes, sir.
You come tell me that I should not be where I am right now.
Come on.
You can't tell me that.
Come on, man.
There is no way in the world that God saved me and I am not activated right now to do God's will.
Yeah, you got a big baby, man. Yes, you's God's baby, man. You's God's baby, man. You's a miracle baby, man.
I still hurt till today because of of that accident. And it hurts me every time I think about it. But I cannot sit back and say, well, I can't look back and say that happened. I've got to be strong in the Lord. I've got to know that He's with me. I've got to know that the plan for my life is just for me. There's a song, as a gospel song says, what God has for me is just for
me.
It ain't like what God has for Brother Charles or for Brother Sister Connie or Billy Bob. He said what God has for you is just for you.
So I'm
on God's mission. Everybody's got a mission.
Yeah.
So I'm not one to tell people their mission's not right. Only thing I can do is, if I get a message from God, I got to tell you the truth.
Who do you serve?
Because when I die, all the things that I say in my life, I've got to answer for that in the book of life.
Come on.
So you've got to watch what you say, and you've got to understand that you must love me, even though you do not like the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Thank you.
Because God commands you to pray for you, not only for yourself, but also your enemies. So if you come at me wrong, that's fine. My flesh may rise up. I might have to bite my tongue and my lip, and I may want to swing on you. But I know the God that I serve.
And I
know what He brought me through. So I'm sorry, Charles, that I'm getting on, but I just had to clarify.
No. You lined up, baby, because the thing is who do you say he is? He is who he is.
He's my father. That's who he is. He is my savior. I know he's my savior. Yeah. You ain't got to ask me to put faith in that because I know, I should be dead right now.
And that makes you understand so much about Nicodemus.
We talked about that.
You got to be born again because why do we only go to God at night? We should be with God all the time.
You got to be.
You sometimes we got to go through the issues of life and things in life so that we can understand who's in charge.
Oh yeah.
It's like that they say before, if you went to hell right now and you came back, you would want to save everybody's soul. You know what I'm saying? You'd be trying to go and save everybody's soul.
Right.
But sometimes God allows us to go through things in our lives.
That's
to
right.
understand that it's all about his son and what he did for us, because your eyes was on him. Even like when we deal with Jesus and the storm, and brother Peter want to walk on the water.
Don't talk about that, baby. Don't talk, because that's
you break it down. Break it down.
No. You go ahead, because that's some deep stuff. Oh, I love that. Say it. Go ahead. Oh, Lord.
We gotta realize that we gotta keep our eyes on the prize.
Oh, say it again.
Our eyes on the prize, because again, like in Nicodemus, Jesus told Nicodemus that he would have to be born again.
That's right.
Just so that he could see the kingdom.
He didn't even say enter. He just said see.
Come on, man. Come on. I know this because the people.
Can I make a reference to that, Peter?
Go to Peter, because you can bounce back and forth like ping pong. Come on.
That was one of my messages when I was in Iraq that kept me strong.
Yes.
God, I mean, if you don't know the story, please get the story. It's amazing.
Read the book.
Please read the word.
Read your Bible. Dust it off and get in the word now.
Jesus went away praying, and his disciples were in the boat.
Bro.
And Jesus started to walk on the water. And
walk
they
on
were
the water.
Afraid because they thought it was a ghost. Now, come on.
We're talking about men
who slept, ate, and did everything with Jesus, and they still were afraid. Okay, all right.
You going somewhere.
Jesus walked on the water.
Jesus walked.
And he told them, don't be afraid. It is me.
Man, I felt that one.
So what did Peter say? Peter was a hot-headed, tempered man. But he loved him some Jesus.
I don't know
exactly who he was. I only know what the Bible say he was. I know Peter had the mustard seed of faith, because when he said, I want to come out there with you, Jesus put out his hand, and he began to walk on the water. It was not until he took his eyes off the prize, as my brother say, or the eyes off Jesus, is when he began to sink. When Peter saw Jesus and he was not afraid in his spirit, when he stood up and says, Jesus has got my back. He's my homeboy. He is there for me. I know who he is, because he transcended on the mountain for me and his two brothers. I know who he is. And when he looked at Jesus, he was in the spirit of God.
Yes.
Y'all missed that. He was in the spirit of
Jesus.
Dude,
you sound like Manuel on the line being right now. Keep going.
It's not until he got into his flesh when he began to sink. So when I'm telling you to stand, Daniel, I know I did not do nothing wrong, but he was put in the lion's den. He slept on the lions, and King Darius ran as soon as the sun came up. He ran down there and told him to
the truth.
Rock.
He said to the truth. Come on.
Oh, Daniel, if your God that you serve has still kept you, come out. Daniel walked out of there. King Darius said, ain't this something? Hey, all y'all who transpired or who was against Daniel, guess what? Y'all get your children and your wives and your family, and we're going to feed it to the lions. As soon as they bodies got in there, the lions tow them up.
So
what God do you serve? Do you serve a God that's scared, or do you serve a God that has your back?
see. That's big. That's big because even Peter, let's sound back to Peter. One thing I love about Peter is that out of the Bible, I love Paul and Jesus. They the bomb. But Peter was more like me, gung-ho for the Lord. But the thing
that's
is,
right.
When I deal with my daddy's strong and dealing with men, I have to help men understand, watch your mouth, man. Watch your
that's
mouth.
Right.
And this is, it's this simple, men. Keep your yes, yes, and your no's, no. Because Joyce Meyer backed up with T.D. Jakes said, character will get you further than your talent.
Oh,
like my church
I'm
mama
sorry,
say, keep living. Keep living.
I'm sorry, we are almost out of time, and I appreciate
no
that.
Problem, no problem.
You can call back tomorrow night, and we can keep it real, and we can keep it strong. I'm going to give you a call in a few minutes. Next time I hear y'all, y'all should be sounding off. God bless and good night.
Good night.